This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 422 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And the merry fat man on the other end is not Santa Claus. It is from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
The year's over. The year's over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You've already checked out, haven't you?
Dude. You're assuming I even checked in any time this
year. Yeah, good point.
You have to do one before you can do the other. I'm okay, my friend. And yourself? Are you good? Are you well? Are you happy? Are you...
All of the above.
It's too hot. Too hot to
think.
To care. It's about 110 in my bedroom because the air conditioning's not working.
Right.
And I'm just a dripping ball of fat man sweat. And you just no one needs that. Nobody wants that.
Ain't got time for that. Nobody got time for that.
So we're going to make this damn podcast last.
Okay.
A cold beer.
So how has your week been?
Mostly uneventful.
Fair enough.
I've been shopping for new schools for my kids.
Oh, yeah. Is there something wrong with the existing one?
Yeah, we've had some issues with the school.
Right.
For the year, and an issue with my youngest one being bullied for the whole year.
Yeah.
And the school's done nothing about it. And don't seem to be wanting to do anything about it, to the point where 2 days ago, my youngest was laying down on her back, and this kid came up. She's had issues with all year and stomped her in the solar plexus and winded her. So a couple of older girls had to carry her and help her down to the first aid. Jeez. And we have heard nothing except for there was an incident. We're looking into it.
What?
3 days. This is now 3 days. And the head of junior school is looking into it. So we emailed the head of junior school saying we'd like to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Not a single reply in 3 days.
What?
And then my kid comes home today with a card from the kid who did it saying, I'm sorry I upset you.
Oh, what?
So it's, jeez. Yeah, so that's just one of many ongoing, and the same cohort of bullies has been bullying my poor girl all year.
Yeah, right.
It's going to be the same kids next year. There's just no escape. And the school's not doing anything about it. And it's just like, well, that's it. We pay significant sums every year to school, and we're getting nothing for it. So we're taking money away from them.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I've been trying to, and then it's a real tough decision. My eldest goes into grade six next year, which is the last year, which is a pretty important year before stepping into high school. And then it's like, oh, do you move them? And
God, you don't expect bullying to be that bad in primary school. You expect that in high school.
Grade two.
What?
Grade two. These girls
six,
are going
7 years old.
Yes, exactly. They're going. Yeah, if you like Grace, none of us will like you.
Yeah, right.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
As soon as she starts to have play with somebody, they'll come and get that person's play and take them away from it and basically have a go at them, at the kid for being with my child.
Yeah, right.
And so she had a terrible year. Yeah. So, which is sad enough, basically. And
I remember Max getting bullied around year 8 or year 9, and I remember Kath saying...
You kind of expect that.
You do. But I remember Kath saying to me, I'm glad we had a boy and not a girl, because she said girls are so much bitchier.
Apparently, it seems to start very early, too. Also,
And with girls, it's very mental. It's not physical.
Yeah, so this kid who stomped her in the chair, she's had issues with him all year long. But it's kind of a love-hate relationship.
Right.
And it's not bullying. It's just an escalated incident stuff, So it's not – I actually have not that much concern about that.
Yeah, but it's more about the lack of response from the school.
Exactly. That's the ongoing psychological abuse by the girls to try and make my kid feel horrible is just terrible,
Yeah.
And then my eldest one was significantly let down by her teacher this year, and after many, many promises were made, and then at the end she all just fell over and didn't do anything she promised and left my older one fairly gutted.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So, two upset kids, that's it.
Yeah.
And we'll take $25,000 elsewhere,
Yeah, for sure.
Ridiculous. So that's been my week, basically. That, and I've been looking through some old files, old memory cards of photos I've never looked at.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly mostly for Myanmar. Yeah, just
I noticed you've been posting a few of those.
Yeah, so I've been posting a bunch of stuff that just photos that I've never ever seen the light of day that I've never even seen. finding a few nice ones in there that I kind of like, you know, and but also because there's a bunch that have been taken with my 150 to 600.
Oh, okay.
I don't use that much. So I was, I'll process those because it'd be nice to have those images for showing, yeah, when you'd use a lens like that in travel photography, as an example, you know.
Yeah.
So there was a bit of reason behind that, but that's been it. I've kind of been on wind down, because school holidays starts, end of school's tomorrow.
Right.
So it's like, that's it for me. I'm done. Yeah.
Wow.
Then I've got a one-on-one the next day, so I'm not going to done.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to have a one-on-one tomorrow, but it's going to be 39 degrees, so 100 odd degrees.
Oy.
That's no fun for doing a one-on-one, so we're postponing that. So.
Yeah, right. Well, Max turns 18 tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's just insane.
you know what my mum did my 18th birthday?
No.
She wrapped my lunch up in the real estate page from the newspaper.
Right.
I've been working for 3 years at that stage, so it was a fair point. But
fair hint.
Subtlety, not a strong point for my dear old mum. Funny stuff. So you having a big celebration? Are you going to do something?
Kath and I are both taking the day off from work.
That's nice.
Yeah, and we just thought, we'll just hang out as a family. We'll go out for lunch and we'll, go find a pub and we'll buy him his first beer and, do all that sort of silly stuff.
Yeah, his first legal beer, shall we say.
Yeah, his first legal beer, that's right.
His first legal beer from his parents, yeah.
And then he's got half a dozen mates coming around tomorrow night and they'll have a bit of a shindig here and... Kath and I have said we'll just stay out of your way. We'll be here, but we'll stay out of your way, So, and then Saturday we've got family coming over, because they'll all want to sort of share the moment with him as well. So, wow. The weekend of Max.
The celebration of Max.
Crazy.
So that's it. So empty nesters soon, dude.
Oh, man. I just cannot believe how fast 18 years went by. I remember Kath and I going over to her mum's and dad's place to say that she was pregnant. And I remember her dad saying to me, "Don't blink or you'll miss it." And I remember thinking, "What are you talking about, clown?"
Spot on.
It's like, wow.
Anyway. Should we get on with this podcast?
We probably should.
This is the last episode of the year.
It is.
Oh, did you hear that?
No.
I could have just sworn I heard the listeners cheering.
Right.
I've done something special this week, Bruce.
What have you done?
I've done something I've only done twice in 300 and how many episodes we've done together.
You researched a story.
I prepared some stuff.
You prepared some stuff.
You know what I did?
This ought to be good. No? What did you do?
I'll get to it soon, but what I did is I went to the Shuttersync podcast webpage.
Yeah.
First time ever.
Right.
I went back to first episode of the year.
Right.
I went through every episode.
Yeah.
And wrote down anything of interest.
Right.
And momentous things that happened during the year, highlights, that kind of stuff. And I've got them all listed. Right. So I'll get to them soon.
Okay.
So that's been good. But I've also, because you asked what I did this week, there's a bit of a furor. I think a week or two ago we talked about the new business model for this particular wedding photography, the overnight wedding photos.
Yeah.
Well, another guy started another wedding business this week.
Oh, really?
Reverse auction weddings.
Excuse me?
So, reverse auction weddings. So, I'm getting married this day, this time, at this location, and I need someone for this many hours. Bid down your price for me.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was on a Victorian wedding photographers and portraits page, industry page.
Yeah.
So needless to say, it wasn't necessarily overly well received.
Yeah, I'll bet.
So I've sent the link through to you. It's weddingphotography.com.au.
Yeah.
So you might want to have a
weddingphotographers.com.au.
Weddingphotographers.com. So I thought, well, I'm going to start my own biz. If everyone's getting into this new wedding business, everyone comes up. So I came up with a new idea, a different pricing model again. Don't think anyone's done this one. So I put it out there on the same web page.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, it was actually quite well received.
Okay.
So this is a call out I put out there. I said, I'm starting my own venture. Come join me. I'm looking for some semi-dedicated photographers to join me in What's It Worth To You? That's the name of my business.
Okay.
What's It Worth To You? So wedding photography without the hassles of paying first. We come and shoot your wedding for free. Then we'll spend countless hours editing your special day. Then we'll upload them all to your own private online gallery. Then it's a very simple question of what's it worth to you? That's right. You choose. Run short of funds because you spent too much on flowers? Pay us less. Decided to upgrade to an ocean view on the honeymoon? Pay us less. Just don't value our hard work and time? Pay us less. That's right. At what's it worth to you, you'll always come under budget.
Let me know how that works out for you, mate.
Oh, I've only got one application.
Of course you have.
I'm telling you, a genuine person applied.
Really?
I'm serious. So I'm really interested in this new venture. Sounds really interesting. Would it be possible to meet for a coffee next week? I'm going, oh, dear. How do I say this nicely? how do you tell someone, look, you know, I was just being a dick.
Yeah.
Because obviously they don't know me.
Yeah.
So otherwise I would have known. So I put that post up, and then I put the first
Where
comment.
Did you put this? On Facebook?
It's not, this is on a Facebook on a wedding photographer's page.
Yeah, right. You
know, catered to, you know, wedding photographers.
Yeah.
So I put it on there, and then I put the first part for the first comment. I did that little gif of Michael Jackson eating popcorn.
Yep.
Yeah, so sitting there waiting for the comments. And got some good reactions. All taken in the right. Well, I think one person was going, "Is this for real?" kind of thing, but the rest kind of got it. So, well, if anyone wants to join me in What's It Worth To You? Keep sending me a line. Awesome.
Oh, dear.
That's it. That is my week. Other than, after we've gone through all the stuff that you've got to talk about,
yeah,
we'll go through the highlights of the year to wrap up. That'll be a nice way to finish the year, Bruce.
Fantastic.
Excellent. So, you've got some stuff. You've got a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, I have got a bunch of stuff, but I first of all want to address the elephant in the room, which is actually not on the list.
What's that?
That is the fact that this week,
yeah,
I posted a photograph on Instagram, and someone masquerading under the name Glyn Lavender complimented me on it.
I did. Mate, you can bowl me over with a feather. You know? I thought, you are. I was waiting for Instagram to shut down. I thought the interwebs would collapse.
Why?
Because I said something nice about what yeah. It is by far the elephant in the room, and I'm glad you brought it up. Because, you know, but here's the thing. I wasn't being disingenuous.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. It was your Christmas present.
Yeah, that should be a present. Suck it up, princess, and don't be enjoyed. Smoke up, Johnny. That was a lovely shot. It was a good idea, well executed. I thought the background could maybe be a bit more interesting, but that's not your fault.
No.
So, but the concept, the lines, the way it draws your eye through the vision,
yeah,
the shot was really cool.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, it was just that sort of thing where I looked through that cinder block wall, because as you can see from the adjacent wall, it's like a whole wall of those cinder blocks. So it was just a case of looking through the one that I was at the right height for, which I think might have actually been the lowest of the row of cinder blocks with the holes through them. And I just thought, that's a really cool frame. It's not a particularly interesting photo, but it makes a cool frame. And so that's why I shot it.
Like the thing that it took you 5 years to post it. You shot it in 2013. I've just noticed, going to your Instagram page now, someone else has commented straight afterwards. It's some bloke, some moron called
Richard Annable.
Richard Annable, yeah. Saying the real Glyn Lavender would never compliment you on a photo. I call scammer. So I reckon, you know, it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, Richard's looking for a job.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, so if anyone's got any, he's excellent at IT. He's a bloody good photographer. And
Richard, check out What's It Worth To You.
Yeah, What's It Worth To You, there you are. let's not forget, you should join them all. The $600 wedding mob, whatever they were called. Can't remember. Emotion. That's it. Emotions. Lack of emotion, I think that they're called. Yeah. And weddingphotographers.com. You get them, bid down your prices. That's it's all. Yeah, that's all race to the bottom together. Yeah,
exactly.
But yeah, so some guy was putting a call out before on Facebook looking for a guy, somebody to do a part time gig doing Lightroom for like a 4 week period or something. So yeah, Richard nominated himself, so I second nominated him
right
on Facebook. And then lovely Adam Davison third nominated. He's the only person who said, oh, I can do it, who had other people saying, yes, this is the person, which I thought was really nice.
Yeah, nice.
So knowing that he's coming up to Christmas and getting a few hours working would be pretty handy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I hope he gets the job. So
cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Nice shot anyway, dude.
Thank you, mate.
You should use that. You should use that as our picture for the episode.
Oh, okay. I will dig it out.
Only because I can't be asked finding a Christmas one. And now you've mentioned it, people got are going to want to see it.
Of course they will. Okay.
And we don't want to submit to your Instagram page and get it flooded. I mean, it might collapse if six people. So
the next story that I have was Samsung used my DSLR photo to fake their phone's portrait mode. And this is an interesting story of this girl who put up this photo that she'd just taken as a selfie, just mucking around in a park where she was holding a red autumn leaf up over her mouth because the leaf looked like a pair of lips. Yeah. And she signed up for one of these sort of stock library type websites called EYEEM. And they're partnered with Getty, and she ended up with a message saying that, you know, one of her images had sold. And she goes searching, and all of the results that came back kept on saying Galaxy A8 Star. And so it turned out that Samsung had legally purchased the photo. So at least kudos for that. At least they didn't steal it, like so often the case. But they then used this photograph and applied a fake blur and used this as the, you know, what the, you know, the phone is capable of doing when you shoot in portrait mode. Yeah. So the conclusion...
I don't have a problem with that.
Really?
Yeah.
I do.
It happens all the time.
I know, but you should still have a problem with it.
But here's the thing. Well, no, because I'd like to go to the page and see if it says shot on Galaxy A, whatever it is, phone.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if they're not saying this was shot with that phone,
right,
and it's just an example of image of what the technology can do, so, I mean, it's quite a difference.
Yeah, okay. That's a muddy grey area, that one.
Yeah, but I would like to see a lot more about, you know, hang on a sec, you know, are they saying, hey, because look, Apple do it all the time. They put these billboards up saying shot with an iPhone X, but what they're doing is using the iPhone X as a capture device and putting like a $20,000 lens on the front of it. You know, so yeah, technically it was shot with an iPhone X, but it was this phenomenal lens did a hell of a lot of the work to make it look good.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's possibly more disingenuous than because they're saying this was shot with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Versus, hey, this is what the technology can do. You know? Yeah.
That's a good point. It'd be interesting to look into that.
That's a crap photo, too, to be honest.
Yeah. Anyway, next one, 20 excellent double exposure photos, film and digital. And I just thought, I particularly liked the stuff that was shot on film, just because it's a lot harder to do this stuff on film than it is with digital. And I'm also a little bit skeptical that some of the digital stuff may have been manipulated in post and you wouldn't know. But I thought it was just an interesting collection of images that have, you know, particularly the, you know, double exposures on film. Some cool stuff in there. Photokina 2019 has been postponed.
Yes.
The next one will be in 2020.
And it makes sense now I've read the article.
Does it?
Yeah, perfect sense.
Why does it make sense?
Well, because the last one was in September. Okay. Yeah. And then they're moving it to May. So the turnaround time is so short.
It's only 6 months, yep.
Yeah, between the two episodes, the two things, that it kind of makes sense to say, well, there's kind of no point doing another one so quickly.
Yeah,
and so let's start with with some clean air between go and woe.
So eight months really, but so it makes it a 20-month break rather than a 8 month break.
And that makes kind of more sense for something that was two year break. Yeah. All of a sudden, that makes sense. It doesn't make me scream, going, "Oh, they've got a problem." You know.
So was there something else on the industry calendar worldwide around September that made them want to get away from September?
No. Well, I would imagine that the way the world of photography seems to be going,
yeah,
they get through the Christmas trading period.
Yep.
Everything settles. They get on track to coming up with the next year's models. They announce those models in May is kind of a good time to do it, with a June, July or August sort of shipping time,
yep,
getting ready for the next season's hotspots.
Yep.
You know, versus if you're doing it in September and the product's not out until mid-November,
it's too late for Christmas.
Ordering issues, pre-orders, all that kind of stuff. I just think I would imagine it's some sort of logistics issue.
Right.
I reckon the industry would have said, hey, we've got no problem supporting an annual thing, but we need the lead times to be this to allow our procurement systems to work properly
Yeah, right.
There'd be something like that, which to me, once again, makes perfect sense. This is a strange episode because everything's making sense to me.
Well, it's the last episode of the year, so it's kind of like a full moon. So, everything can be a little bit weird.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, there you go.
Mark Chapman commented on Facebook and said, "Hey, Bruce, thanks for the shout-out in episode 421, the Troy Casper episode. I'm not in Rockhampton anymore and certainly don't need a heated vest." And he said the little town that was evacuated, which I was trying to think of, was Gracemere.
It was.
Lior from Israel.
Lior. Yes, said, the lovely Lior. Hey, we should name an episode after him.
We should. Hey, Inks.
Should we call this one that?
What?
Should we call this one the Lior episode?
No.
Okay. Sorry, Lior, I tried. Yeah. Bruce is a hard task.
I hope Glenn feels better by now.
He just starts off saying something nice about me. I was trying to do something nice for him. I like you, Lior, even if Bruce doesn't.
Since my last recommendation was such a roaring success for me, I thought I'd also share the Atlantic's photo blog at www.theatlantic.com/photo.
I agree. It is a fantastic blog for photography.
It keeps adding to my photographers I hate list. The entry for today seems particularly apposite to Glenn's adventures.
But see, that's why I don't go to that blog post anymore, because same thing, there's just too many people to hate.
Right.
All that negative feelings just welled up. So, I'm there with you, Leo.
And he said, keep up the good rest, work.
So what's kind of like a Hindu?
This is a photo essay, if you like, all about the pontoon bridges in
Allahabad.
Yeah, yep. In India. And this, whoever's shot all of these, I didn't see the name of the photographer in there, obviously loves their long telephoto stuff.
Mm.
There's lots of, deep compression from long focal length stuff. I mean, there's a few, that aren't, but a lot of it is that sort of stuff, and it looks great.
Well, this festival, it's something I've been thinking about going to for...
It's a festival?
4 or 5 years, yeah.
I thought these bridges.
Yeah, they build them for the festival.
So they don't stay people in place?
No, they're temporary. They move for them in place to move the people during this festival.
Wow.
Because it's the greatest gathering of human beings on the planet.
Right.
And here's the thing. I'm not sure if I want to go, but I'm not sure if I'm gay enough to go to it.
Yeah, right.
They have like 20 million people
at
this festival. And whilst you can imagine the photo opportunities, you can also imagine what a nightmare.
The chaos, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just to move and to get anywhere. But, yeah, that's the Ardh Kumbh Mela Festival.
Right.
in mid-January. So, yes, it's the largest gathering of human beings in the world.
Yikes.
So, yeah.
Count me out.
Yeah, very cool. So, yeah, love that that blog post.
I love that second last image, which, again, long telephoto, you've got the compression that shows all of the pontoons of the bridge, and the bridge is absolutely jam-packed with people, and you can see, like, over on the other side of the river, you know, just hundreds of meters of just seething humanity. It's just crazy.
I've been sort of invited to go to Bangladesh sort of August, September-ish.
Right.
To shoot one of their festivals where everyone travels on the trains like that, the tops of the trains.
Oh, wow.
It saves chaos. So, I don't know, if anyone wants to come along on a tour, maybe I could, we can maybe say yes, but I don't know. I'm sure I forgot. Yeah. So, if anyone wants to, let me know, and I'll probably put it on. But if no one applies, I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
Cool. But there we go.
But, Leo, thank you for that story, mate. Great set of photos. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and keep up the good rest, which is fabulous. Yes. It's spot on. That Jewish sense of humour, I tell you.
Yeah. Now, Adam just...
Our Adam?
Yes, our Adam has been dragging his heels this week.
Oh, he's hopeless.
Because there I was compiling stories for this episode with nary a single story from our Adam. And
perfect.
As I looked at my web browser, bloop, up popped the little red icon, one notification, Adam has posted a story on Shutters Inc., blah, blah, blah. So he just...
So you better include it because of his excellent effort.
He just scraped in by the skin of his teeth.
Fabulous.
And this was a strange, strange story. This is all about the race to the Arctic Circle in the end of the 19th century, so 1897. All of these different countries were trying to get to the North Pole. So this guy in Sweden, who's, I'm going to guess it's pronounced Andre, it's A-N-D-R-E-E, he decided, because he was an avid ballooner, that what he was going to do was create a balloon expedition. But the problem was, in those days of ballooning, they had no way of steering the balloon. So his idea was, we'll hang ropes out of the balloon to act like anchors, which will allow us to steer the balloon as we go.
Doesn't sound like dangerous, does it? No.
Not at all. And what happens was they've taken off. The ropes were too heavy, started to drag the balloon down. So they had to dump all of the sand ballast that they had in the basket with them to get the balloon back up in the air. But then in the process of all this happening, the mounts on which the ropes were tied came undone and the ropes fell away. So now they had no ropes holding them down to the ground. They had no sand ballast, so the balloon ended up going way too high. And when the balloons go too high, the hydrogen starts to leak out of them, and so then it comes crashing down to the ground. So these guys ended up with no rudder, no control over where they're going. They ended up being dumped in the middle of the ice sheet, nowhere near their... The guy who was organising the expedition had the forethought to organise for two supply depots to be set up at least part of the way to the North Pole, so that if they ran into any trouble with their balloon, they would at least have some supplies out there that they could rely on. They tried to get to the first one, and the ice sheet on which they were walking was floating in the opposite direction to where they were trying to go. So it was like two steps forward, one step back, because the ice flow was drifting. So then they tried to make it to the other thing, and then they couldn't get there. And so then they eventually set up camp, and they were camped on this flow for a week or two, and then decided that this was not a good idea, so they better get over to this island. And so they got over to this island, and they never lasted more than a couple of days. And the only reason that this story is of any interest to a photography podcast audience is because the guy took something like 290 photographs, and about 90 of them were viewable. 93 of 240 photographs were salvageable. And what happened was that it was 3 years after these guys had all died that somebody actually found the remains of their camp. Because in these days, you know, they had no communications whatsoever. So all the people in Sweden who were very excited about their countrymen going off and being the first ones to get to the Arctic Circle had no idea what had happened. And it wasn't until 3 years later that somebody came across their remains and found their journals and all of these photographs. And so there's this collection of images from this ill-fated expedition. So, yeah, horrible awesome. Way to go, but an interesting story.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Adam.
But I zoned out after something about 1897.
Yeah. But, I figured you would.
Get off Facebook.
Yeah. Excellent.
So what else you got?
That's it.
Awesome.
We're done. Another year down.
No, we've got the highlight
page. Oh, we got the highlights.
There we go.
Are we done yet?
So, I started out episode one.
Yeah.
So, our very first episode, I thought this was fairly serendipitous.
Yeah.
You mentioned a woman called Jen Lung, L-O-O-N-G, who is starting an organization called Wondersnap.
Yes.
A platform which looks to unite non-photographers on holiday with local photographers.
That's right.
No longer in business. Gone.
Really?
Website's gone, Facebook page, everything's gone. I thought that was our kiss of death. That was fabulous. Episode two highlighted the fabulous guy looking to get on Kickstarter or Indiegogo to get a GoPro because someone stole his one, and he wants to replace his GoPro for corgi videos.
Right.
Hi, everyone. This campaign is to replace a GoPro that was stolen. It was used to make videos of corgi events that we attend.
Right.
And he's the creator of the blog SoCalCorgi.com and the Facebook page SoCalCorgi. Fabulous. He raised $90. Our mentioning him really helped him along, as you can see.
Yes.
I was really impressed with that episode on Feb 12.
Yeah.
We had no podcast. I think it was one of the highlights of the year. Episode 396, we actually got some user comments on the Facebook page. Now, for an entire year's worth of comment pages, I think we got like about 12 comments for the year.
Right. Off that one episode?
No, 12 in total for the whole year. This one had like three, so seems it was a bumper issue. I thought I'd better mention them all, It started out, because listen to this, Bruce. I'm not sure I was even on the right page when I was looking at these comments.
Right.
What an astoundingly interesting episode. I had to lie down for a while to recover. Well done, Rob. Him of the coats variety.
Yes.
Yeah. Glenn, outstanding photos. It must be something about me. It must be why it's so good. I wish you posted more. And thanks for a fascinating discussion. I came perilously close to actually learning something. That's our mate Leor again. So. Hey, if nothing else, Leor, you've had more. You won't let me name the episode after you, but you've had more mentions than anybody else. Leor. Yeah. And these images are so awesome. Well-composed, nice lens choice, colour processing and bokeh. Bravo, David. You know? So we had three comments. That's just fabulous. Yeah, what an episode. If that's the sort of quality of comments we're going to get, I'm going to go to our page more often and read them. Because that's good stuff. April, why not? Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, the reason that I shut down your idea to name this episode after Leor was because he had episode 386 named after him.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Well, I'll take it all back. Leor. So, royal.
What?
It's Leor backwards, dude.
Oh.
Get with the program. I'm taking it back.
Right.
I'm taking it all back. Royal.
Right.
R-O-I-L.
Okay.
Yeah, like, anyway.
Yeah.
April 1st, I thought we did the best thing of the year, actually.
Oh, really good. Sure we did.
April Fools, we didn't do a podcast. You know, there's a joke, isn't it, hey? Trick or treat? Well, you got to treat people. There's no podcast. April 8th, there was no podcast released today. There wasn't even a date of April 8th mentioned. So
okay.
I thought, well, people are pretty happy. They've got 2 weeks in a row without having listened to us.
Mm.
And then April 15th, we had the trifecta of goodness.
Okay.
I've no podcast recorded.
Oh, wow.
However, on April 20, you kind of ruined it for everybody.
Right.
Because you found that you hadn't posted the April 8 episode was sitting there and hadn't uploaded, so you went and uploaded it.
That's right. I remember that.
I'd like to apologize for that in the distance.
That's right. I think we released the two episodes in the 1 week.
There you go. I mean, how much torture can people take? Episode 399, another comment.
Yeah.
Another comment. Here we go. You're too hard on yourself, Glenn. when you were lamenting your listener numbers in last week's podcast and said, I'd just like to have one listener for every bloody episode. Well, and this person comments saying, I wouldn't mind betting that some weeks you had two or even three listeners. Yeah, but I meant, but so what I was meaning was like 400 listeners on that one week, not over the whole year. Yeah. Meanwhile, I have to get back to the onerous task of finding the worst ever episode of Shudders Inc., which this person still hasn't reported in about, apparently. Right. And by the way, congratulations to you both on the big 400, but I think we all know who does the hard yards each week. Thank you very much. I'm always disappointed when I click on the website and read no episode this week. Well done. Rob off the coats variety again. He's a prolific commenter, isn't he, Rob?
He is.
So he would have liked the previous 3 weeks where there were no episodes, then he wouldn't have dumped two in one go and spoilt the whole thing for him.
Yep.
April 29th.
Yeah.
We weren't there. May 6th,
yeah.
No sign of us.
Huh?
May 27th, nah. June 3rd, I thought was fabulous because you titled the episode Epic Fail. That bodes well, doesn't it, for an episode? Epic Fail. Yeah. June 10th, no episode. June 17th, I'd like to apologise to everyone. That was the Adam Davidson episode. July 15th, more comments. Love the new website so far. You've moved out of the 90s. David puts you. Thank you, Dave. July 29th? Nope. August 26th? Nope. September 2? You named the episode I'd Like to Offer My Apologies. That's not a good start. Episode 413, the Culling episode.
The Culling?
The Culling episode. And it was when I was talking about being up in Billawela, Queensland, where I had to do 1,200 photographs over 42 categories and did it all in about an hour.
Yeah.
And Ian Collin, I'd never looked at the website before, so I never saw that Ian from Billawela, who may even listen to the podcast from time to time,
yeah,
commented on that particular episode going, I remember that whole weekend you spent at Billawela. Great workshops. That's a good start, isn't it?
So yes, I don't know where you're getting the titles from, because these aren't the titles.
I'm making some of these up.
Oh, okay.
The Culling episode, I called that one myself to remind me what I was trying to say.
Right.
But stuff like, I'd like to offer my apologies, September 2, that was your the epic fail, that was definitely yours.
Yes.
And then it says, great workshops, and yes, the speed at which you selected the photos did cause some consternation. Well, I don't always listen to the podcast as soon as they come out, and I'm now enjoying being listener 7, or is it 8? I think we could be in double figures if we're not careful.
Possible.
Thanks, Bruce Anglin, for the world's best love photography podcast. Now, it's in parentheses.
Yeah.
But somebody's actually said it that wasn't you. So now you can just kind of almost, it's like the chicken and egg thing. Someone's now said it, so you can now claim that someone said it, but they said it, they're just repeating what you said, so it doesn't, let's not worry so much about that. Let's just say that somebody said it, and you're just quoting them.
It's like time travel, isn't it?
Chicken egg, funny stuff. Episode 23, we didn't show up. October 28, no sign of us. November 25. And man, Mr. Coates, he's commented again. He's a serial. If he hasn't put 2/3 of the comments for the year on our page, I don't know who has.
Yeah.
But he is great. But when another prominent star of the US world reels back and says, not the Glenn Lavender, it begs the question, can we still expect him to appear for nothing on the, here we go, Bruce, on the world's best love photography podcast? Two people have said
there
it now.
There you go.
It's catching.
It's catching.
And then it's not even in parentheses.
Like herpes.
Yeah. I hope so. Dispensing 16 minutes of good advice across 400-odd hours of episodes is not something to be sneezed at. And, Bruce, you'll be hard-pressed to find someone else who can equal that feat, I'm sure, Rob. Then we had November 25, no sign of us. I think I'm sick. December 2, well, the Troy Casper episode. And I find, looking on our page, that he came to listen to us because Joe Edelman came on the podcast.
That's right.
So something good came of that episode, at least.
Yeah, that's right.
And then what's got to be the all-time highlight of the year,
yeah,
I would have to say, is, let me, oh, I haven't got the date there. Let me see what the date is. Is that plop a calendar? Quick. What day is it today, Bruce? It's the 6th, isn't
sixth.
It?
So it'll be the 9th when this comes out.
But that's no good. I won't look in September. There you are, too. People, Best episode of the year, December 16. Lock it in your diaries. Have a bit of a listen. Unbelievable stuff. So I have a research, Bruce. I actually went through every single episode and came away only slightly less duller than I was when I started.
Excellent. Good to hear.
Now, I'd like to say that, in all, now, you know, we don't take ourselves too seriously.
I've noticed.
But having said that, I would like to say, Bruce, that it's been an absolute pleasure you being on my podcast this year.
Thank you, mate.
I'd like to say that.
Yeah.
No, it's been a delight working with you again. I'm honoured and happy to be here when we can get here. I know we sometimes mess up and we don't show up and we kind of waffle on, talk about crap. And, what I would kind of like a little bit, this is off the cuff thing, more serious than I expected to be.
Okay.
I would like us, the fact that we are so non-serious about, we're serious but not serious about photography.
Yeah.
That it takes just a little bit off the ridiculously amount of seriousness that the internet is about photography, how heavy everybody is, how totally over the top. I get passion. I understand passion. I welcome and love passion.
Yeah.
But you destroy that passion by being just so over the top about every damned thing. Go enjoy what you do. Don't be pixel peeping, buddy. All the other stuff that you see on the internet so much.
Yeah,
so,
and obsessing over technical specs of a lens performance. And
someone messaged me today and said, can you send me some, I'm looking at buying a 70-200 2.8 G2 Tamron. Can you send some photos you've taken at 2.8? I'm going, probably not, because I wouldn't really know what settings I used for most of them. I have to go and look. But here's some photos I've done with that lens. Like,
seriously, you could go to Flickr and search for that stuff.
Yeah, but someone who knows somebody who's this is photos of someone, maybe they, I don't know, maybe they like my work, or at least they know of me, and they know it's genuine stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And so they say, yeah, can you show me some photos? I'm happy. And I sent him a half a dozen or dozen photos just from one trip, all taken with that lens, but I couldn't tell him what the settings were used.
Yeah.
I doubt there were 2.8. They probably were about 4 or 5.6.
Yeah.
Because I have to get eyes in focus and stuff. But, you know, if your concern is what's the quality of the lens, well, these photos will probably do it. And then I also said, you know, but in all honesty, it doesn't matter whether you buy Canon, Sigma or Tamron.
Yeah.
You can't really get too far wrong with a 70-200 2.8.
Exactly. They're all bloody good. Yeah.
Yeah. If someone's got a super red hot deal on A, B or C,
yeah,
maybe that's the deciding factor. Yeah, save, if you can save $200 or $300 and take yourself away for a weekend somewhere interesting to take photos for that $200 or $300, I'll do that.
Yeah, but honestly, you would never. I probably shouldn't say this because someone will probably prove me wrong, but I honestly doubt that anyone would look at an image that was shot on a 70-200 2.8 and go, oh, that's a Canon, oh, that's a Nikon, or oh, that's a Tamron lens. Like, you know, maybe if you had those three sample images taken with all three lenses side by side so that you could pixel peep between them, maybe then you could go,
there might be a 3% difference between them. And look,
yeah,
one of those three lenses may have a distinctive shape to their bokeh.
Yes.
That is a giveaway to which one took it. That's a possibility.
Sure.
But, you know, who cares?
But really, in this day and age, all of them are going to do a great job.
Yeah, exactly. But the point is, yeah, that's, I relish the fact that this podcast is a place that isn't serious.
Yeah.
But we're always happy to talk about anything serious. But, you know, our general weekly banter should be, you know, I love the fact that, you know, it's just a couple of mates having a chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I hope our listeners sort of feel, especially our regular contributors, that they feel they're part of it, part of the family.
Yeah.
Because sure are to us.
Yeah,
so, absolutely. So thank you, everybody, for listening. It's kind of nice we know everyone on a first-name basis.
Yeah.
And we know where you live. But, no, it's kind of nice. And, not more.
Oh, I had this random idea the other day.
Do tell.
And I probably should have talked to you about it before we started recording.
Yeah. But why start now?
Exactly.
Any form of system.
You know? I was thinking
that is rational.
The ill-fated second attempt at a pass-the-camera project, which resulted in the disappearance of my Minolta SLR and my Nifty 50. I was thinking if you were up for it, we should use your Yashica.
I'm not up for that.
Okay. It was just a thought.
Not a good one, though. Versus is it?
I thought it was.
No, because I like the camera too much. This is the thing. I like that camera so much. I don't want to part with it.
Okay. Fair enough.
But it would be good because it's lightweight to post around the world. Yeah. It wouldn't weigh very much. But I like it too much. Okay. If I find one cheap on eBay, okay, I'll buy one and we can do that.
And I'll guarantee there probably is someone who's been horribly disappointed with it and has probably offered it up for sale.
I think the majority of people have been horribly disappointed with it. But, you know, and I reiterate this every time, that's their lack of ability.
Yeah.
And once again, it proves absolutely perfectly what we were just saying a second ago about they're more interested in – oh, the camera feel,
yeah,
the how it looks. I expect it to be a stronger build. Forget, they're not thinking about, well, can it take a decent photo?
Yeah.
Yes, it bloody well can. It can take some lovely photos when done properly in the right conditions.
Yeah.
You can take some great photos with it, yeah? And surely that's the test of everything.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect example of why this world of photography is so cruddy in so often, yeah?
Yep.
And why it's nice to have people like Al listen to them who embrace a little bit of the stupid,
yeah,
you know? And they also accept me in the podcast too, not just you.
So I'd like to throw that idea out there to the listeners. Scour eBay, people, or any other auction sites that you know.
1.3 megapixel digital camera you can find as well. Any old piece of crud. As long as the memory card, as long as the battery holds a charge,
yep,
and it takes a memory card that can be accessed. We don't want any smart media cards or anything like that or something. Yeah, let's just see what we can find and go from there.
Yeah.
I like that, but we should set a theme.
For the next pass of the camera?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we can do that when we know that it's absolutely up and running and we've got our camera.
I've already got it. The theme can be photos taken on my Tanzania Africa tour.
Fantastic concept.
Who's coming? Come on, people. Come on. You know
you want to. All right, mate. Well, you have a good Christmas.
And you have a lovely Christmas. And I hope Max has a great day tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I hope you have a lovely new year.
Yep.
And to our loyal and wonderful listeners, what do you want to say to them?
Be that sensible, says, yeah, be nice to everybody.
Thank you.
Well, thank you as well. Yes, I was getting to that. But have a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. Don't drink and drive. Be good to people. And thank you for listening.
Thank you. That sounded so intense. Can you do it again? What's more with feeling?
No, it's good. It's all good.
Yeah, can you do that one more time with feeling?
It came from the heart. If I do it again, it'll sound contrived.
Came from the heart. Are you dead? Are you emotionally dead, boy? Yes, I'd like to thank everybody for joining the Train Spotters podcast. All I can say to you all, may your gauges be 3/4, your steam buckets full of coal, and may your fires be stoked. I'm not sure if any of those are proper train terminal. I think it's something about gauge was right. Yeah. I'm not sure you put coal in a steam bucket for still. You know?
ShutterZincPodcast.com.
Another audio2.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email the boys at ShutterZincPodcast.com.